This is New Every Day with Jeff Weston and Lawrence Cruz.
Welcome to New Every Day. My name is Lawrence Cruz. Jeff Weston is away on business. I almost said vacation. And with us here again for a second episode is Ken Gill, all the way from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And we talked sometime about Calgary there.
Yes. Beautiful city, city in the foothills of the Rockies.
Yes, the Rocky Mountain Range, yeah.
We're only 90 minutes from the community of Banff, from which I understand is the number one tourist attraction in our entire nation. So it's a very beautiful place.
Yeah.
Right, nestled right in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. Beautiful.
Well, I have an idea.
Yeah.
I think you should plan another conference or something in Banff. She did it once before, invited me, and I went. And my
wife...
We could
do some of this from there.
Hey, wait a second, friends, just a moment. I'm getting some inspiration right now. That would be an idea. Sorry, Jeff isn't here.
I mean, Jeff talked to me about this, you know, and so we were chatting about it, but maybe next time.
Maybe next time.
We might be able to 1, 2, and 3. Can you imagine?
Well, I can imagine, because one thing that isn't going to happen is say, well, Cruz, you had him in Ontario. I'm going to have Ken in Banff. If he's going out there, so am I. Friends, if you haven't been to Banff, B-A-N-F-F, Alberta, Canada, put it on your bucket list.
Absolutely.
It is definitely Lake Louise, pristine. It's beautiful. And hey, we're here to talk about whatever. We're here with Ken, who has many years of ministry experience, including pastoral ministry, much of that. Ken, how many years was it? I believe you said...
Yeah, launched out in 1973, so this year's 45 years of serving the King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful. And I was privileged. I remember when I was a Bible college student, you came and addressed us as students, and it was a life-changing experience for me to sit under your ministry. God met me at that time, and it was great. And at other times as well, as we had shared how the Lord had used you, and God spoke to me so clearly through you. And so and here he is about to do it again today. So,
well, it's interesting, you know, on your journey of faith, you say, okay, God, I've said yes to you, but what's next?
Right.
And that's the beautiful thing about being a kingdom explorer and just saying, God, I don't know really where I'm going, but I'm following you, true north.
Yes.
I'm staying in your word, which is my compass. I'm being led by the Spirit and the word. It's very difficult to go wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and people talk about missing the will of God. Look, when you're adopted into the family of God as a child of God, it's very difficult to miss the will of God because you've been adopted into the will of God.
Yeah.
And the will is there. And we just need to get close to the Father.
Oh, wow.
And find the Father's heart. And we find the Father's heart, things begin just to happen. You know, I had a gentleman say a couple of weeks ago something that kind of took me back. It was like a paradigm shift. He said, you know what? We will probably not even need to look at the subject of obedience if we'll move into an intimate relationship with God the Father through the Son, and we'll stay in the center of Father's love and let His love be expressed through us. Me loving Him, Him loving me. How do we go astray? How do we go astray?
Yeah.
You know, the security of Father's love is over the top, you know. The scripture in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, my life is hid with Christ in God. I mean, in such a world of insecurity and anxiety and people being stressed out, our lives in Christ is hid with Christ in God. Now, that's tight.
That's tight.
That's tight. And I love living tight with God, my Father. And I'm a friend of his, and you're a friend of his.
Mm-hmm.
And man, Abraham was a friend of God. He said to his disciples, I call you no longer servants.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how's that?
Mm-hmm.
I call you friends.
Yeah, Jesus said.
Yeah, Jesus said. call you friends. And then he gave him the rationale why. Mm. Because when you move out of servanthood into friendship relationship with God, he starts sharing secrets with us. Mm. And then we could just say, God, what's on your heart? What's in your scripture that I'm not seeing? I'll open up the word to my understanding. We pray prayers like this. May you grant to me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ, that I may know God better. Not too shabby, hey?
Not too shabby.
So we're on a journey, and those that are watching today, I'll tell you what has revolutionized my life are the 13 prayers of Paul. And I've taken those 13 prayers and pray them until they're one with my heart, until those prayers become my prayers. And you know what, Lawrence? When you pray the word of God, you cannot be any more centered in the will of God and the purpose of God. Mm-hmm. Because those prayers are recorded in the scripture as scripture for our repetition and our learning.
Ken, there was a time when I would have thought, oh, that's wrong. It's just rote. You know, my heart's not into it. I'm no longer there. Yeah. Have you found it valuable, like I say, to literally you take word for word, like your eyes are open and you're reading the scripture and making that your own?
Absolutely. And listen to this one in Romans chapter 10. Paul says, my heart's desire and prayer to God is that Israel might be saved. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I've been to Israel. I love the people of Israel. Yeah, yeah. I know it's the center at the apple of God's eye. I know all of that. But boy, when I started praying, it's my heart's desire and prayer to God is that Israel might be saved as a nation. So part of my repertoire for 35, 40 years is praying for the nation of Israel, praying for the peace of Jerusalem, and just taking a simple prayer like that, and it's a life shaper. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. And then the other one that this, God would grant to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I mean, I need the wisdom of God, mm-hmm. and I need knowledge, and I need all those things that Paul was inspired to write, and the Holy Spirit allowed it to be canonized in the scripture. So that means I can take direction. I can set my life as a compass from that part of God's word and just take those incredible prayers of Paul has written. You can read them all through the word. You know, Corinthians, Philippians 1, Colossians 1, Galatians 1, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, and you just have a look at all these crazy prayers. And what I found is this, is praying these prayers, I've discovered, brings about spiritual maturity in the heart of a believer probably quicker than anything else. Because it's about alignment.
Yeah.
So the moment I move into alignment with the Word of God is the will of God, and I start living that out, I find great freedom.
Agreement. Another word. Can we do that?
Yeah, alignment. Agreement.
Saying, yeah, okay. Hey, I'm praying this. I'm wrapping my will, my affections in agreement with what the Word of God is saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can go wrong from that way, but centering ourselves in praying the Word of God and praying it, and then it becomes out of my spirit man, I am articulating his prayers back to him. And there's a sense in which, a sense in which that he's obliged to pray, to answer the prayer that he has given us to pray.
I like how you said that. We're not commanding God.
No, he's God.
He's God.
I'm not.
We're not. And yet I hear you, hey, but Lord, did you not say in your word? Yeah. We could say those things, right?
Yes, that's true.
Hey, Lord, did you not say with a spirit of sonship, with a respect and an honor? Yeah, and I'm hearing you say, well, God's going to, I'm wondering, is he potentially saying, well, you know what, son, I did. And you're right, I did say that. And so because my word, I said it, I'm going to do it.
Do you know how I stumbled onto this?
No, I don't.
People becoming converts to Christ and not knowing how to pray.
Okay. Okay, just a second. Okay. So in relationship with people who came to Christ.
Exactly.
And meaning you being in relationship with them.
Yeah.
Okay, I just got to say, I love that.
Yeah.
So you're formulating answers, solutions, strategies, even while you're talking
Absolutely.
To pre-saved and brand new Christ
believers.
Followers. Okay. So and they came to you.
The word says study to answer.
Right.
So not be an answering machine.
No.
But you read the word and say, God, would you let my life itself be an answer to prayer? Mm-hmm. Everybody's wanting answer to prayer. Why don't we become answers to prayer?
Yeah.
Why don't we? Why don't people come and say, hey, Ken, what you said today, that was an answer to prayer. And I go, attaboy, God.
Yeah, yeah, thank you.
Because you want us to be an answer to the dilemmas of people's lives.
So that's not arrogance.
No.
No.
Just solution-oriented leadership, you know, helping them. So new believers are saying, Pastor Ken, I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. Here are some prayers. And so they go, well, they're in the Bible. I said, I know. You can't get it any better.
Oh, my goodness.
It doesn't get it any gooder.
Oh, yeah.
Pardon the English. But
can't get it. Is that Calgarian?
You start praying God's word. You start praying. And what happens? Here's what happens.
Yeah.
The prayers come off the page. They come into my spirit. And I become one with them.
Yeah.
So these new believers are saying, And what it does, it teaches them how to pray.
Sure.
Pray accurately, pray biblically, pray spiritually. Mm. And I think every one of the prayers, just a Paul, I mean, we can pray the Lord's Prayer, right? How many times the Lord's Prayer been prayed?
Mm-hmm. I prayed it this morning.
About John 17?
It's
an entire prayer.
Beautiful.
We pray the whole thing. That really is the Lord's Prayer, right? The other is disciples' prayer. Yeah.
Sure.
So we get that prayer. But I think the prayers of Scripture, matter of fact, there are books on Amazon where you can have, Herbert Lockyer has a book on all the prayers of the Scripture. And let me tell you, you can spend a year just praying the prayers of God's Word.
Okay, I got to tell you something.
Yeah.
I'm going to get that book because that, see, I have experienced the value personally of praying the Bible.
Yeah.
And it's true. When I'm feeling, God, I don't know what to say, it's always, you go, well, you don't need to. You just need to agree with me. Ken, we're out of time. We need to take a break. No, we can come back.
I think we need to pray.
Friends, don't go away. We've got a few messages here from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Stick around for more from New Every Day.
For a limited time, get your hands on limited edition shirts from the Category 5 TV Network. These high-quality shirts are manufactured by Teespring, a fundraising website, and your purchase will help support the shows we produce. Get yours today and send us your pictures to be featured on the corresponding show. Visit cat5.tv/shirts to support us and get your official network shirt today. cat5.tv/shirts.
Hi, friends. We're back with our guest, Ken Gill, all the way from Calgary, Alberta. And God richly bless you, man of God.
It's a beautiful city, by the way.
Yeah, Calgary is.
Yeah, it's a beautiful city because it's surrounded by the Rocky Mountains. Seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of Canada's best kept secrets.
Yeah.
I know we're about 1.3 million people, but it doesn't feel like that.
No.
You know, it's a beautiful mix of rural and urban. That's why they call, you know, the cowboys, urban cowboys out there.
Okay. How long have you lived in Calgary? Or in Alberta?
In our 30th year, believe it or not.
What?
Left Toronto in 1989, and we're just coming up to 2019.
Wow, 30 years.
Yeah, I had 4 children going out there, and now we got 7 grandchildren while being there.
Yeah, how do you feel about being a grandfather?
Well, you know what? It's one of the most beautiful things in our marriage. Sharon and I are going to be married 45 years this next year.
Mm-hmm.
But watching my wife become a grandmother, it's probably one of the most beautiful things that I've watched, and I hear my grandchildren call her Noni.
Yeah.
And then I hear them call me Poppy. And I don't know, something flips a switch in the heart.
Oh, is
and
that right?
Because of faith, we believe in generational righteousness. And so we both have believing parents, believing grandparents.
Yeah.
And we desire to have believing children and that their offspring would be believing parents, and they'd extend the kingdom as we have, but take it further, you know.
Keep on talking. I'm just over here agreeing in my heart, saying thank you, Lord, for your richest blessing on my kids. Is that what you are praying as well? Go ahead and do that.
Right.
You can say it out loud or in your heart as you're watching it, but
I think of the name. Yeah. His name, I got Samuel and Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got Wesley, John Wesley, you know. Sophia.
Oh.
Jacob. You know,
beautiful.
Daniel. How about this one? I lobbied for this. Kennedy.
I bet you did.
But listen,
and there's two N's in Kennedy.
Yeah. Kennedy Olivia Grace.
Oh, beautiful.
So we're just believing for our grandchildren, you know, to be just awesome to expand the kingdom.
And Lord, we bless it.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
We bless all the children in your families as well, that they'd rise up, call you blessed as mom and dad.
Come on.
And they'd be used to extend and expand the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name.
Yeah, just like that. Thank you. Receive it. So, interestingly, earlier as we were speaking, we were talking about praying the prayers of the Bible, and you mentioned the prayers of Paul.
Yeah.
And you mentioned a scripture about wisdom, which I'm wondering if you were referring to Isaiah, but there was a prayer.
That's Ephesians chapter 1.
Okay.
Ephesians chapter 1. Just right here in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Yeah.
Yeah. And so this is the prayer that you are praying out loud where you're asking God for wisdom?
Yeah. It says here, I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that he may give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that I might know God better. Well, I want to know God better.
Anybody
want to know God better?
You smiled when you said that, man.
I did. I do, because it's one thing to get to know God, but don't you want to know him better?
Yes, I do.
Don't we want to get closer to him?
I do.
I mean, Lawrence, did you want to get to know him better? We want to get to know one better, because our theology as believers is relational.
Yeah, sure.
You know, we've all been raised in systematic theology. Mm. Where has it gotten us? There's a shift in the world that the center of our faith is relational, not systematic.
Didn't everything start between a relationship between a father and a son?
And it's going to end with the father and the son.
My goodness.
So everything in between, you know, is relational. And prayer is the epitome of relational. As a matter of fact, prayer is the umbilical cord that attaches me to God. Mm-hmm. So I think of the role of the umbilical cord attaching our daughter Angela to my wife.
Sure.
And 9 months hidden. And then out she comes.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that is snipped is the umbilical cord, which was a dependency. Mm. So I see prayer as a dependency in my life on God. And I'm happy to say I am dependent upon God.
Yeah, praise God.
And his word and his spirit. Yeah.
Always want to be, not trying not to be.
Yeah.
We
were talking about another book that really influenced my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an author by his name is Calvin Miller. I don't know how many books he's authored, but one book I read called The Table of Inwardness, a beautiful book talking about our inner man, the core of us. Then he wrote another book called A Hunger for Meaning, then a trilogy of other books. But he wrote this really interesting book on public communication. What you're doing on this program is really the three things are wrapped up in what we're doing. He talked about the power of the Word of God, the centrality, the centrality of the Spirit of God in everything we do, and the power of story.
Wow.
That's the book. That's what it's called. And he took those three things and said, like every program like this or every message that we preach has those three salient points that are important for those that are listening. My prayer is that the Spirit of God will arrest us, and the Word of God will adjust us, and the power of story will make it easily translatable. Our friend James on the other programs that you've had, James Burgess, who wrote that book, the power of story in his book there, he's using that as catalytic to help us understand the principle.
Mm-hmm. And it worked.
It worked.
As one who read his book, it captivated me.
It did.
Yeah.
It did and does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And will continue to do. Wonderful. Ken, I'm going to say it. You're a man of prayer. Is that an accurate statement?
I hope to be. I would want that to be something that I'll be known for.
Okay, so thank you. That's a kind, generous answer too. Because I'm not looking, I'm not asking you to.
How did I get there?
Ken, how did you get there to be a man of prayer?
My mother, my father were people of prayer.
Yeah.
They demonstrated to us. Plus, my mother's mother was a woman of prayer. But the realization that I had a call, and my first call to God was to be an intercessor. So most of us believe that intercession is prayer. Well, I discovered that being an intercessor is prayer plus, 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 plus. And so by saying yes to God, I looked for a man to stand in the gap, but I found none. He's looking for somebody to stand in the gap. Wow. That's what an intercessor is. We're gap men or gap women. We stand in the gap on behalf of. And that's what prayer does. We stand in the gap on behalf of our prime minister, on behalf of our president. You can criticize your president if you want, or you can pray for him.
Mm-hmm.
And we take that role of prayer. So I began to develop that role of prayer, and I found out that intercession is one form of prayer. But to be an intercessor is a lifestyle of an advocate. We stand in the gap for all kinds of things. So the Holy Spirit arrested me that I was to stand in the gap for people from 18 to 32. So you know the many things we've done in this nation with young adults.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that just became, I'm an intercessor. I said yes to God. I'll be an intercessor. For who, God? For this group. So then my journey of prayer, he said, anything else you want me to be an intercessor for? Yeah, I said, I want to be an intercessor for the poor, and for the orphan, and for the widow, and for the refugee, and for the prisoner. So I got this assignment from Proverbs 31, verses 7 and 8, that I was to be one who would speak up on behalf of those who had no voice, the poor, the orphan, the widow, the refugee. So we've spent 40 years flowing out of that call to prayer, developing a fuller life of intercession. It has launched us into everything we've done in the history of missions and in the world, and buying hotels for the homeless, starting schools, and beginning villages of hope for orphans around the world, and mobilizing the church to the planet. So prayer, it's absolutely essential to everything, because I think it's a gateway into what Father wants us to do.
Yeah, I do too. And see, Ken, thank you so much. And I bless you, man of God. I'm hearing you talk about the lifeline to who you are. These are my words, but that's I think that's accurate. Even as an umbilical cord is a lifeline.
Yes.
You're telling me that prayer is a lifeline. I'm thinking in the few moments that we have left.
Yeah.
Ken, there's somebody here who like me can witness, and we can bear witness that who you are is led by the Spirit. You're a man with years of practicing the presence of God. I know you wouldn't say that of yourself, but thank you. Just work with me. And prayer is a huge part of that. Let's say someone says, I want that. But so what can someone do to begin the journey of being a prayerful person?
Sure. Well, I say this is accept the invitation. And so the invitation to prayer is this: it will automatically bring you into an intimate place with God. Worship will be the natural outflow, and a love for the lostness of humanity will be in the center of everything you do, because he's not willing that any should perish. So if he's not willing, I'm not. So that means I automatically connect with the planet, and I want to help people forward in their journeys. And so I just took up the yes, say yes to God, I'm going to do that. I had no idea of saying yes, where this would take me. So the next thing I would do is I look through the scripture, and I found six different types of prayer. And guess what? They became an acronym for the word basics. So there's six aspects of prayer. First one is beseeching. Second one is asking. Third one is seeking. Fourth one is intercession. Fifth one is confession. And the sixth one is, just slipped my mind, but it's right there, supplication. And those all through the scriptures. There's patterns, there's prayers. I'd say embrace the Word of God, study the subject of prayer, and then start praying.
Actually, this is amazing. I just love it.
Right?
Yeah,
Believing God.
Yeah, and just do it.
What did the disciples say?
Yeah.
Teach us to pray.
To pray.
Not about prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So we start praying, and he leads us on a journey.
So glad, Ken.
Yeah.
Thank you so much again for coming. Not just the first time, but the second time. And I'm hoping more times to come in the future.
Can I say one last thing?
We'll chase you. Sure, go ahead.
Draw near to God.
Yeah.
He will draw near to you.
That's prayer. Friends, God bless you. Thanks for tuning in to New Every Day.
Catch a new episode of New Every Day every Friday morning at neweveryday.tv. We're also on Roku, Kodi, Plex, YouTube, Google Play Music Podcasts, and Facebook. Or if you're in Southern California, tune in every Sunday morning at 6:30 on KBVB-TV Channel 33, television for the high desert.